Good news, my new book is finally here. It's called Handbook for the Heartbroken, A Woman's Path from Devastation to Rebirth, and you can order it now wherever books are sold. I wrote this book after the five-year span between 2016 and 2020 when I experienced serial heartbreaks that rocked literally every area of my life, my health, relationships, money, career, social status, and even my very sense of self. And along the way, I really got to experience firsthand how dysfunctional our culture's relationship is to loss. I saw how we live in a heartbreak illiterate world that's obsessed with success and shackled with isolation and ignorant of how valuable our suffering can be for our growth and our evolution, not only as individuals, but also as a collective. So this book expands the conversation around loss beyond just breakups and bereavement, although we definitely cover those too, in order to include falls from grace of all kinds, personal, professional, and collective. So whether you're experiencing hardship now or know you have past hurts that are holding you back in certain ways and still need healing, this book is here to support you. It's also a great book to gift to clients, family members, friends, just other women in your world who are going through a challenging time. It will show you that it's only through fully turning toward your heartbreak with support, courage, and compassion that you can heal. So within the loving pages of this book, you will have full permission to fall apart and slowly, organically find your way back to greater wholeness. I'm truly excited to share this with you. It was not a joy to live this journey, but it really was a joy to write it. And you can find it again wherever books are sold, and the audio version of the book is available as well. If you would like some gifts to accompany you on your heartbreak journey, you can get those at handbookfortheheartbroken.com. Those are free. Whenever you order books, you can just send in your invoice or your receipt, and we'll send you those accompanying gifts. Enjoy. We all experience times in life when the unexpected happens. We get sick. Someone we love gets sick. We have a baby. We lose a baby. Or someone dear to us dies. We go through a breakup or divorce. Something shattering happens in the world around us. We're changing identities and we're feeling vulnerable and like we're in an in-between space. Or any other myriad of things. Still, when these things happen, life keeps moving forward. And at some level, we need to keep moving with it, even when we don't want to, even when that feels hard, even when that feels impossible. Welcome to When the Going Gets Tough, stories of resilience in business and life. Over the next several weeks here on the podcast, I'll be featuring conversations with six prominent women who've weathered various life challenges and found ways to keep showing up for themselves, their loved ones, and their careers in the process. I'm sharing these to both offer support and inspiration for all of us when we're traversing similar dark valleys in our own lives, and to celebrate the arrival of my new book into the world on May 7th, Handbook for the Heartbroken, A Woman's Path from Devastation to Rebirth. Part memoir, part guidebook, Handbook for the Heartbroken is designed to be your intimate companion during life's most challenging seasons. So, my dear, settle in. Pour yourself a cup of something hot or cozy up under your favorite blanket. And let's prepare to go deep together over these next several weeks through these intimate conversations. Are you ready? Let's begin. Welcome to Herself, a space for women to have deep conversations about the intersection between spiritual entrepreneurship and fulfilling your potential, so you can become the woman you truly are in every area of your life. After being in business for over 2 decades, I've learned, as you likely have too, that as you grow your business grows you in unexpected, often challenging, yet miraculous ways. Here, we'll talk about how to get out of your own way, so you can grow a business that's abundant and sustainable while allowing you to be a force for good in the world. I'll give you simple, actionable strategies as well as wisdom and inspiration to help you root into your wholeness, lead from your values, and work in ways that feel deeply aligned so you can bring your true self into the world through your business and in every area of your life. Hello, friends. Today we are continuing our When the Going Gets Tough series with Jordan Gill, who is a multi-seven-figure business strategist whose mission is for high-achieving business owners to prioritize rest without sacrificing revenue. Love that. And I first started following Jordan last fall, and shortly after that, I witnessed her make a pretty massive pivot on every level. And as I was watching this unfold through her emails, through her social media, and also on her podcast, which she publicly announced she was taking a break from to navigate this time in her life, it really piqued my interest. And I was impressed with how transparent she was about her process, that she was going through a hard time, that she needed space for that, and then how she very openly has been in a process of reinvention. So what led to all of this was that last fall, Jordan experienced a season of grief with compounding losses, coupled with some ongoing health challenges that she has, that she's been very open about. And in the midst of all this, she got clear that she needed to dismantle her business. And again, this is no small business. This is a multi-seven-figure business. And that included letting go of all of her programs, selling some of them, giving some away, and letting her entire team go. Wow. So today we are talking with Jordan about how she maneuvered that time, both personally and professionally. And I really feel that she is an inspiration for listening to one's truth, prioritizing self-care, even when operating at a large level and a large scale, courageously navigating uncertainty and fear amidst risk-taking, and staying authentic and transparent with her audience along the way. So there's a lot in here for all of us, and I hope you enjoy today's conversation with Jordan Gill. Right. Welcome, Jordan. It's good to have you with us.
Thanks so much for having me, Sarah. I'm really excited to be here.
And as I shared with you when I invited you to this conversation, I learned about you sometime last year via a podcast that I listened to. Mm-hmm. And you were doing something different at that time than you're doing now. You were doing work on collaborations in particular. And I made a note of it because I was really interested in just strengthening my networking, strengthening my collaborations this year. And so I started following you, as one does in the online world. And I was following your journey and, you know, keeping track of what you were doing. And last fall, your messaging started to shift. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if you can take us back to when that shift started happening for you and what was going on in your life at that time.
Yeah. So last fall, I had my first in-person conference. So I was hosting about 150 people in person and 150 people virtually. So it was a hybrid event of about 300 total. And it was here in Dallas where I live. And I was so excited. It was like a lot of momentum happening. And there was a lot going on personally for me. And that included, so the week of my conference, my grandmother went into hospice that Monday. I had a very close friend's dad pass away that Wednesday, and that Wednesday night I had the welcome party to my event.
Oh, wow.
So there was a lot of emotions going on, and I kind of, you know, it's too late to stop the train, like, you know, in that sort of circumstance. And I feel like people don't talk about, they're like, oh yeah, just go take a break when it happens. It's like, yeah, no, like I want to go crawl, you know, in bed and cry. And I don't have that luxury for like at least 3-4 days. So it was one of those moments where I really just had to like, okay, like I'm going to make time for what I need to make time for with both of these things happening this week. And I'm going to try and be the best event host that I possibly can for the next few days. And so then had a really great event, had a blast. And then afterwards, it kind of continued to, I had a couple more people pass away. My like second mom from elementary school passed away. Like there was a lot of people that were passing away in and around my event. And I think anybody who's had people close to them pass away, you really start to reevaluate your life in a lot of different ways. And so I pretty much took a month off of social media and like a month off of business, really, because I just like couldn't. And so that was all of my October. And then kind of in November, it almost was like I want a fresh start, not in the sense of like totally reinventing myself, but everything that I had sold up to that point felt like a very like pre-conference Jordan-esque. And I felt very, very changed by a lot of those events in my life. And so I said, okay, if I am changed, but I'm also like wearing, it's almost like, when you have clothes that like you thought were cute and like they were cute at the time, but now you put them on, you're like, I don't really like these anymore. Like that's how my offers felt. Not that the things I taught in them were wrong or bad, or didn't work anymore. It just felt like they didn't fit. So in November, I actually closed down all of my offers. I actually sold the collab membership that I spoke to that particular podcast interviewer about. So I sold that. I literally did a closeout sale on all of my top offers. People probably were like, what is going on? Like, just because I put a lot of effort and energy and time and money into a lot of those offers, and they sold well and nothing was wrong with them. They just didn't fit me anymore with where I was mentally, with where I was energetically. And so I had to make that cut off in the fall of last year. And so, I'm still coming out of a lot of that stuff, still figuring it out. But I did what a lot of people are scared to do or don't have the courage to do. And I'm really proud of myself for that. And know that whenever you close one door, others open. And so that's kind of what's been happening now and unfolding. But that was really why there was such a big shift back in the fall of last year, was just a lot on the personal side of things, even some stuff. I'm very open about. My husband had a biological son before getting married to me. We have to do a lot when it comes to custody battles. We do have full-time custody of my bonus son, but it's always an ongoing journey. And so that also, there was a lot going on there as well during that conference. So it just was a difficult concoction of things.
Yeah, it's like the term that I'm not the one that coined this by any means, but that I use when all those things kind of converge together. It's a perfect storm.
Yes,
It's a perfect
exactly.
storm.
Yeah.
So there's a number of things in there that I want to break down more,
Yeah.
and I relate to a lot of pieces of your story, and I also experienced a major heartbreak in the midst of teaching a week-long retreat
Yeah.
with over 20 women that had flown in from all over the world. It was a very
Totally.
intimate, intensive, and it was on this like the second day that this happened. And I still had several more days to teach. And people often ask me, "How did you do it? How did you keep showing up?" And so, Jordan, what did you do? Like, what are there specific things that supported you amidst these losses that you experienced just days before?
Yeah.
What helped you to show up and lead all these people, hundreds of people?
Totally. Yeah. For me, I am a Christian, so prayer is a big thing for me. I really, a lot of times, can't rely on my own strength a lot of times. So it was a lot of prayer during that time. I love and adore my husband. We have been married for 3 years, been together five. And he also is a very understanding partner. And I'm very grateful for that. And I think too that I've seen and been witness to a lot of people do a very similar courageous act like that. Like, for example, my dad, He was a football coach for many, many years and was very much in the public eye and was a very different childhood than probably a lot of people. And there was a time where there was a coaching staff change, and my dad was there for a year, and then he decided to literally leave that team and not have something lined up afterwards, which is like pretty unheard of. Usually you want to wait until you have something, lined up before you leave. But he took that leap of faith, based on just, again, it wasn't a good fit for him, in that time frame. And so he didn't have a job for, I don't know, a couple months, and then, he found something else. But, you never know when you take that leap of faith, or you say, hey, this doesn't fit anymore. I'm gonna like kind of venture out. And so seeing my dad, and that was when I was like 13 or 14 years old. So having seen my dad take that with like a family and like all of those things, attached, I was like, okay, like if my dad can do that on a much grander scale than what I'm doing, then I know that I can do it too. And he landed on his feet and did great things and all of that. So also having been witness to it, it helps. It's still scary, but it still helps you to know and have seen somebody already go through where they either like burn it all down or leave or whatever the case is, and then come out on the other side. So kind of a combination of those things to where I was like, okay, like this is very short term. I will make the time to properly grieve, to give myself the space. And like I can do anything for 3 or 4 days. So again, it was a little bit of living in an alternate universe for me because it felt like there was stuff in the back of my mind I wanted to think about. But like I also knew that, again, like I wanted this to be a great experience for everyone. And so maybe I feel like I did a pretty good job of still being very available and all that stuff. But if I needed a minute, like I would go and take a minute. So it's giving yourself that grace. And I think in the online space, it makes me really sad because I see a lot of people not giving a ton of grace for people, and assuming the worst and making judgments about things instead of asking questions. So
You mean
I,
when someone's going through a hard time or?
yeah, like when someone's going through a hard time, they're usually like, oh, like they're trying to either take advantage of me or pull the wool over my eyes or manipulate me or like whatever the case is. And even while it's like, I am a pretty open book, but when the wound felt very like open, it just was like, I'm not like, I can't even talk about this right now. And so, making sure that I'm saying like, hey, yeah, I'm just like going through some things and whatever else, like, and people having the benefit of the doubt that like that's not me just trying to get over on them or whatever the case is. And I didn't really have that per se, but I see it more kind of online and socially than necessarily what I've experienced. And so I feel like my community is very gracious and I'm super grateful for that. I'm very open about the fact that I have chronic illnesses. So there's ebbs and flows to just how my energy work. So they're used to hearing from me like I'm high energy and then like, hey y'all, I'm gonna take a step back, like be back in a little bit. So I think that that helps with my community specifically having a bit more grace than maybe a lot of others.
Right, just being transparent about it. And it's also a way of educating people. And I mean,
Yeah.
that's one of my intentions with this series and with my book. It's there can be so much taboo around failures or setbacks or ch challenges at whatever degree of something that someone's going through. We can be so success oriented, and we hear the success stories, but we don't hear the failures and the setbacks and the challenges that were inevitably part of that process.
Yeah, we see people's like, chapter 18s, and we'd like skipped over all the middle chapters, and we think that it just happened like that, right? There were a lot of hard decisions, there were a lot of hurdles, there were a lot of all those things along the way. And it's not to say that you'll have the same hardships and difficulties, but you'll have some sort of hardships and difficulties. That's just life.
Yeah. And I love how you bring in prayer because that's also what supports me during hard times and what supported me in that particular live event I was talking about. And I also don't think that's something that we talk enough about because even just talking about religion can be taboo. And I was raised Catholic, but I don't consider myself religious now, but I still have a strong connection with prayer. And just to remind us all that that I think is really the most powerful tool that we can draw upon. It's calling on some force that's higher than we are.
Absolutely.
And how great that you had that role model of your dad. You saw someone very close to you do this, and it obviously imprinted in you, okay, if he can do that, I can do that too.
And not a lot of us have seen, 'cause even something too that's interesting about how I grew up is my parents never fought in front of us. Like I've never ever, I didn't even see nitpicky. I didn't even see like nagging. And so it created this very like Cinderella-esque view of relationships of if when I was dating somebody, we disagreed, I was like, oh, well, we're not supposed to be together then because like I didn't see that. My parents have had a successful marriage for, I don't even know at this point, 30 some years. And my grandparents have been married for 72 years, still living like wild. So I've had really great role models in that sense. And so I had to, when it came to overcoming that kind of like Cinderella-esque type relationship, I then in my own family now, like, you know, again, my husband and I will have disagreements, and maybe Colin is in the room, who's my bonus son. And what's important to me is that even if he sees his dad and I disagree on something, I also want him to see the other side of it where we're either apologizing to each other or we're saying, hey, we love each other or whatever the case is, because I want to see him see the cl like closed loop. You know what I'm saying? Like I want there to be a recognition of you are going to disagree. That's just relationships in general. And my parents had all of the best intentions of that. So again, it's not necessarily something that, you know, I blame them for, but it was something that I recognized, okay, there's a way to show like reconciliation or compromise or things like that, where again, a lot of kids saw their parents argue a lot and then never saw the reconciliation. And that was where I was like, okay, I want to. And again, my husband and I don't really fight like that anyway. We're much more like disagreeers. And so I wanted that loop to be closed and for Colin to see us be safe and still love each other afterwards and like be all good, because that's where I see too when there's disagreements and stuff, like how people are affected because they just see the disagreement and they don't see the resolution. And so again, even with, you know, me still coming out of all of this, you know, my community is very, very supportive and very much like, you know, cheering me on and recognizing that again, I'm going to respond a little bit slower to things potentially, or, you know, I have the autoresponders on my inbox or different things. And so I know that, you know, as I'm continuing to come back in a more full capacity, that like they're still going to be there cheering me on versus me, you know, either having just like totally disengaged, which is still okay because there are people who need to do that. But for me, I have still wanted to maintain and still enjoy business. And so for me, I am working less hours, but I'm really only doing the things that really light me up or that, are contributing to less stress for me. So I don't know if you have Aura rings,
Yeah,
but
dude,
oh my gosh, yes. Part of the Aura ring family. But I love my Aura ring because I'll look at like the days that I'm stressed. It's like, okay, well, what was I doing that day at that time? Like what was going on? And so then I've really tailored my schedule based on that. And so that's helped bring my stress levels way down and really allowed me to have a schedule that aligns with where I'm at in this season, because everything is a season. I don't think that I'm gonna be feeling the way that I'm feeling forever and ever more. I know that there will be a comeback season, a homecoming, if you will. But I am also good with right now having that slower speed to how I'm operating. And you know, some days I get frustrated at myself because I'm like, I used to, you know, pump stuff out much faster, but giving myself that grace is part of the process too.
and you mentioned the the Jordan pre that event last fall and then post event. And pre-event, you were running a big operation. You had a lot
I
of,
was.
you had a big team.
Yep.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but like a seven-figure business.
Yes,
So
correct.
you weren't just in like a startup phase or something. It was very, very well established.
Yeah.
Was it like what made you come to the decision to pivot? Because I think I also heard that you let a lot of the team go and you really pared things down, not only in your offerings, but just in your back-end structures. So what was that process like to just come to the realization that that's what you needed to do or wanted to do? And then the dismantling of things
Yeah.
beyond the selling of your courses, but more in the back end.
Yeah, the back end stuff. Yeah, that letting team members go was by far the hardest part of the entire process. Especially because my team didn't do anything wrong, you know? They were great. And so it was a difficult conversation with each of them and saying, "Hey, like, I can't hold this anymore, and because I don't know where the next step is, it would be irresponsible of me to have you on this roller coaster with me. It wouldn't be fair, it wouldn't be fun, I wouldn't be the same leader that I have been able to be." And so letting them know that this is coming from a place of the betterment of everybody, and letting them know that, like, if you need support, like, in finding something new, please let me know. Like, I'll connect you, I'll figure things out. And, some team members took it better than others. And I don't blame the ones that didn't take it very well, at all, because I understand, like, that doesn't feel good to feel out of control and to feel like you didn't do anything wrong and yet you're being put in a difficult situation as being let go, right? And so that always was the hardest part for me. And there was lots of crying and there was lots of just very painful feelings around it too, because it's like, well, I found really great team members. Like, it's hard to find really great team members. Like, will I ever find good team members again? And I had to just release myself from that and know if I could do something once, I can do it again. I still maintain good relationships with a lot of them. A lot of them have gone on to work for really amazing companies like Brett Seva, Amy Porterfield. They're great. Like, they're in really great places. I'm really grateful that they've found those new homes. And I always try to make sure that people are, better off when they are, either on my team or as clients. Like, they're better off having met me or having worked with me or whatever than before. So I think I accomplished that as best I could. And yeah, letting go team members was definitely the hardest part. I got rid of a lot of software too. I was on HubSpot, which is like, I don't know, it was like I was paying, I want to say it was like 6,000 a quarter or something on HubSpot. And my 1 year was coming up actually at the end of September. So it was very convenient that my contract was ending and I just didn't renew, and like downscale to like ConvertKit and very simple software. So I reduced expenses all the way around because I didn't really know how much I would be making because I didn't really know the plan. So I knew that I needed just enough to get by and just to, again, make it not super stressful for me. And so that really was the plan at that time, was just, again, I think a lot of people end up with their team. They end up, because they don't want to let people go, they just like bring their team along the ride. And I don't think that's as fair. And maybe that's, they didn't have an they didn't think they had another choice. But for me, I was like, listen, like, I have to be upfront. I have to be as like real as I possibly can about where I'm at mentally, where I'm at energetically. So again, and like I said, most people really understood that. And if they didn't understand that, again, I think each of them ended up coming back a couple weeks later and sending me an email and saying, "Hey, like, I'm sorry. Like, I was really emotional at that time. Like, it was a lot. I was really sad. I've been with you for years and years and years. And so it just made me really sad. And I just had a reaction. And so, even still in those moments, I can be human and be like, I get it. I'm not giving you good news. Like, I don't expect you to be smiles and rainbows. So while it was really hard, I also know that everybody has like gone on to continue to do great things. And that's all I could ever ask is just, again, how can I help support you in the next phase? And while I can't support you with employment, I'm going to try my best to give recommendations or connections or intros as much as I can.
And what, so what was your team like then, and what is it like now?
Yeah. So at the beginning of 2023, I had 9 employees,
Like full-time employees.
full-time
Yeah.
employees. And by September, I had let go of all of them except one. And the one that I have is actually my house manager slash personal assistant. So yeah, I had let go of a lot of people. And actually, the year before that, I had 12 full-time employees in 2022, 12 full-time employees with about 6 like really heavy contractors. So I had 18, a team of 18 in 2022. So I had sliced that in half for 2023. And then again, I basically had to let go of even more people the next year. So I'm going through again a lot of that trauma of even more loss, excuse me. And so yeah, it was a lot of dismantling. I don't recommend,
So
but
now you have one person who's full-time person who's supporting in your business and in your personal life. Yeah.
yeah. So she mainly helps in my personal life, but she does have some like little things here and there, but on the business side that she's helping you support me with.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how has this process been for you of, because you've let things go at the same time that you're then pivoting into something new. And how has that been? How has that been for you?
Just as wild as anything, I guess. One thing that I maintain with myself is I know that I can always bet on myself. I have been an online entrepreneur for 8 years. Before that, I was an employee, a full-time employee with an eight-figure online business person. So I've been in the online industry for 10 years in total. It's been the majority of my career. I worked for a nonprofit for a year before that. And then before that, I was in college. This is really all I've known, and this is all I've really have skills at, have connections at, all of that. So I know that I'm kind of unemployable. So if anything, happens, like it's just kind of a, well, we'll figure it out because I always have. And one of the things that really helps is like connections and relationships, because being able to get on Voxer with somebody and just be like, today is not the day. Like, I don't even know how to move forward in this way, or this is what I'm excited about, but nobody else is excited about this, or whatever the case is. Like, having people in your corner is by far the biggest blessing in the really dark times, because again, our minds can just go down rabbit holes and, hold on to different mindset kerfluffles that just are not helpful. And so having a real person whose real voice is saying back to you, like, that's not true. Like, look at it this way, reframe it that way, has definitely helped tremendously. And so in the pivoting, I'm honestly, I think with, again, all of the loss and grief in multiple ways last year, I was just like, I just want to have some fun. Like, I want business to feel fun again, and not in a way of irresponsibility, but in a way of just like, when you're responsible for 12 people's livelihoods, it's not fun. Not that having them is not fun. It's everything that comes with that. A lot of HR conversations, a lot of adjusting to different state laws, a lot of just all of that heavy stuff. And so my days were not filled with like, how do we get to impact more people's lives? It was, okay, the state of Colorado's changed a law, and now I have to either decide that that only affects the Colorado employee, or do I change it across all of my employees who are in 9 different states? So not the most riveting, exciting, discussion from that standpoint. So I've just decided that I'm gonna have some fun. I'm gonna try some stuff, not gonna take business too seriously. Find ways to still be helpful while also not overwhelming myself or running myself into the ground. And that's really what I've been doing for the past month and a half, and allowing myself to, just try different things. And if people find it to be, I don't know, spastic or like, what is she doing? Then that's totally fine. But I'm having fun and I'm enjoying it. So I've actually gotten a lot of compliments about how refreshing my energy is and how like they're enjoying the journey of resiliency through like, a lot of the stuff that happened last year that now I'm like, okay, like, I'm stepping into a new era, I guess, as they say, but really having less concern about how others are perceiving me is definitely a big part of it too, because I think there's just a lot of judgment in the online space. And I find like, if this person is like enjoying their life and enjoying their business, like, freaking great. Like, I want to see more of that versus all of these conversations around, like, oh, like, well, if she closed down all of her, courses in November, that must mean that none of them are selling. No, that's not the case. Okay. Like, I'm very open about why I closed a lot of them down. So yeah, I'm focused on fun. I'm focused on impact. And I have been having a lot of fun and been having a lot of impact. So it's working as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so it sounds like you're in an experimentation phase.
Very much
Yeah,
so,
just
yeah.
seeing what's enlivening for net for me right now. How is that landing with people? Just exploring all of that.
Yeah.
And as you're in that exploration phase, do you have even just a hazy vision or more of a broad vision of what you want to be building next? I mean, you're in the stages of doing that, but like, do you
Yeah.
want to build up a big team again? Do you want to do something different now? Or do you not know?
Yeah, I know that don't want to build a big team right now. I don't think it will be off the table forever, but just again, knowing the response, the heaviness of responsibility for people's livelihood is really heavy on me. And while I'm really present for my husband and my bonus son and myself and other family members right now, like that's enough, like, of a responsibility for me. And so I know no big team. I love being innovative. I love doing things that may surprise people or intrigue people or they haven't seen before. And so and the thing with innovation is it's not about like coming up with a brand new, like, just shifting the entire world off its axis. It is like taking something that like is kind of working and making it like really work. And so I have found a lot of fun in that. And again, it's a skill set that I've always had, but I haven't been able to showcase very much because, again, I had responsibility. I was selling this one thing and I had to focus there. And so I don't have a big vision. And I know that big vision, like the big vision will come in the action, which I think a lot of people think, oh no, I have to wait for the vision to come in order to take action. And I'm very much the opposite. I'm like, let me take some action, try a few different outfits on and see what works. And then when something feels really good, like, I'm a go all in kind of person. I actually have, are you a Strength Finders person? Are you familiar with Strength
Yeah.
Finders? Yeah. So my fourth strength is focus. So I'm actually very good at focusing on stuff. And so I know that like when I'm hit with what feels really good, I'm ready to go all in. That's not going to be a hindrance for me at all. So I know that right now I'm like playing in this realm of how can I create software that doesn't require a lot of support, like customer support. That's kind of a challenge that I have for myself right now. And it's really fun to play around and have my developers like figure those things out because I think, while courses and programs and all that stuff isn't going away by any means, like I want to create things that like can take stuff off people's plate literally. So through a tool or software. And so that's kind of where I'm playing a lot behind the scenes, and I'm starting to kind of poke my head out publicly about some of the tools I'm working on, which feels very aligned. Obviously, I'm system saved me, so it would be a very natural way and direction for me to go. And so that's a little bit of a vision, but it's not like a big vision yet. I don't
Yeah.
know.
Yeah, I can relate to that. I mean, in my book about heartbreak, I share the story about how I closed down my business in 2019 and actually stepped away from it for a couple of years and
Amazing.
got a job, even though I still feel like I'm unemployable, but I managed to get a job during that time that I actually was a really interesting job. And I started rebuilding, and I did a similar thing. It was like, I have a sense of what I want to do, but I don't, what I did before isn't who I am anymore. And I had that same feeling of, but my metaphor was it's my old business was a shoe that didn't fit anymore. It's like, this isn't me. None of this website, this branding, these courses, the social media, none of this is me. And so I just stepped away from it. And as I was starting to rebuild again, it was definitely a full year of experimentation, maybe even like 2 years of experimentation, different phases of that, of just seeing like, what do I enjoy now? What's like, let me try this and that. And there's no like business models, so to speak. It was just trying different things until it became clear. It's like, oh yeah, this is what I want to do right now. And then can start building things that are more like rinse and repeat. And you know, the name of your work, System Saved Me, it sounds like it came from your own health challenges and ways that you needed to learn to manage your energy. And I know a lot of women listening can relate to that, whether it's health challenges or children or aging parents or some other things happening in their lives or going through a grief journey. What are the ways that you, even right now, as you've took more space to grieve and taking more space for yourself, like how do you determine like what are the things to be working on that are going to have the biggest impact, or what are ways to simplify or streamline your day to day to make those other things happening in your life, so that you have more time for them?
Totally. So one thing is for me is definitely like schedule flexibility is big, which means way less calls. So I have like a limit each week to no more than 5 hours of calls. And so if a call needs to happen, then it either is going to be pushed potentially a couple weeks, or it doesn't need to happen. A lot of times I'll try to push calls, like if it's just like a catch-up call or it's like a discovery call, I'll try and move it to Voxer. So that again, I can just be in the car or in bed or wherever I need to be, and not act have to actually be like facing a call. And then I also do like cycle syncing as well, to where it's like, okay, well, if I know I'm gonna be low energy during this week, then like I'm not gonna do any calls. Like it's just not gonna be helpful because I'm gonna have to reserve the very little energy that I have for making sure the kiddo's going to the math tutor and the basketball practice and the whatever else. And that's going to zap my energy nonetheless. So I spend that time more in like research phase or like back end automation land, stuff like that. And so those things have been really what I systems wise have like set up for myself with my schedule. To where, again, when I know I have energy, it's like I'm gonna have podcast interviews, I'm gonna have strategy sessions and whatnot. So I have really gotten clear on my very like narrow scope of like what feels good, what doesn't drain my energy, and what still is gonna help impact people in some way, shape, or form. And so that has been, I really have been enjoying strategy sessions. I've never done them before. I'm like known for being the VIP day person, which is like a much longer and different setup. But again, having 5 or 6 hours chalked for an entire day for somebody else just is really tough right now, which makes me really sad. But again, it's a season thing, so I know they'll be back. And so, but I know I can do like one or two strategy sessions in a day and feel really good and leave the calls feeling really good and not drained. So, like strategy sessions feel good. Doing like very automated, very, I don't even want to say simple, but almost like straightforward offers. Like they aren't super like fluffy. They don't have a lot of extra stuff in them. And I've always kind of been that way. I like to sell stuff that's like, this is what you get, and like here's three like helpful bonuses that go with it, versus like those really mega offers that are just like, we're just gonna give you everything. Like I'm not good with that. And so the straightforward nature of them feels really good, so that it's not a ton of changes or updates or anything like that. And that's really where my focus. And then, the software, the tool side, which I'm not building. I have a developer who does that. And then I just build like the strategy of how you use the tools in your business. So that's felt really, really good. And coming out of that, in Q1 of this year, I'm having to limit myself to no travel. I'm kind of going off of that a little bit next month, because I'm going to go to South by Southwest to meet with some brands for brand partnerships. But I wanted to commit to like getting my health back on track and getting my sleep back on track and some different things this quarter, as to where when I'm around a bunch of people, when my immune system is down, like I get sick very easily. And so being in crowds and groups and stuff like just isn't beneficial to me. So that was another kind of rule that I had to set for myself this quarter, to where again, I'm doing much better health-wise, which is very exciting. And so yeah, those are kind of the systems things that I've put in place, both scheduling wise, but also like what offers I am putting out there that align with just energetically how I'm able to show up.
And you mentioned in the beginning that this shift has taken a lot of courage, and for sure it has. And I acknowledge you for your courage. And have
Thanks.
there been times when you've felt, when you felt fear around this? And if so, how have you worked with that fear?
Yeah, I feel like I have fear all the time, but I don't let it stop me. And it may be like, oh, well, if it was real fear, it would stop you. But I think if you, I've been in business 8 years, and I just, there's not a whole lot that scares me per se in business, because, I've had people who hate me, or I've had people who, are not necessarily my biggest fans. Like the stuff that people get really like, oh my gosh, I want everyone to like me. Like I've had people not like me. And I'm still here and I'm surviving, and like it's fine. There are some people I don't like, so how could I possibly hold people to a different standard of everyone's gonna like me when a lot of us don't like other people? So and not because they're bad people, just it just is not a fit for us, right? So I think that through it all, again, I'm still standing, and that's proof enough for me to not be scared. And again, having community, having people in your corner when it does get dark and when it does feel like, oh my gosh, this feels really scary. I think too that it's like, oh, okay, like it's actually in the grand scheme of things, like when I had to do a lot of layoffs in 2022, that was very scary for me. That was extremely scary. That was based on our sales being down in 2022. So I was like, okay, like this sucks. And, what are people going to think if they know my sales are down? Or like, what's the gossip mill going to do? And honestly, nothing happened. So there's that. But secondly, it's like, you see Verizon letting go of people, Google, Facebook, Microsoft, like, this is a part of business. When things ebb and flow, it's unfortunately smart business. If you cannot sustain at the level you were at, there have to be adjustments made, on a variety of parts. So I was in a peer mastermind at that time that of seven-figure and even eight-figure business owners, and they were like, oh yeah, like I've had to do that. Like it'll be fine in a month. And I'm like, what do you mean it's gonna be fine in a month of bawling every day? And they're like, yeah, like that happens. Like your business is going to ebb and flow. So that helped me rec I mean, it didn't make me feel any better about what I was doing, but it helped me know that like it's not necessarily that I'm being a bad business person, or character-wise, it feels terrible. Like it's just like, okay, like This is unfortunately a part of business. And so I'm going to try to get through it as best I can, try to take care of people as best I can, and move through it versus being like super scared about it.
Yeah. But I loved how you said that kind of fear is always present.
Always.
And I feel the same thing. And I know the women that I work with, they a lot of times they'll feel like they can't move forward if they're feeling afraid. But it is part of the process, especially if you're moving into the unknown and taking risks. It's inherently scary. And it's yeah, surrounding ourselves by people who can give us honest reflection, who can support us, can validate that it's normal, keep going.
Yeah,
Yeah.
all of that. And I think too that if you want something different or better or whatever, change is inevitable. Like you cannot continue to do the same thing and expect for life to be different or for business to be different or whatever to be different if you're doing the same things over and over and over again, right? So I again it, I did Strength Finders with my husband and we did like the full 30 some strengths. And you're not supposed to look at like really your last ones, but of course we did. And my husband and I had the same last strength. And meaning like not our top strengths, like our worst strengths or whatever. And it was adaptability, which is interesting because I would have said that would have been much higher on mine. I've moved 12 times in my life. I've had to adapt to a lot of different circumstances that were very uncomfortable and out of my control. But it made me reflect and be like, okay, that's interesting. But even in the midst of, not in the Strengths Finder anyway, them saying that I'm not as adaptable, it's really just that I like to know what to expect. I don't like surprises, right? So when it comes to systems, it's like the system runs every time, the same time, all the time, right? And so again, when there's a tech snafu or something thrown out of the left field, it really does kind of like jolt my nervous system. But again, the longer you're in business, the more you can expect the unexpected, come with contingency plans and things like that. So again, I don't want to say that there's nothing that surprises me anymore, but I've been in business long enough to have seen a lot of different scenarios come my way, like being selected for jury duty during my virtual conference and trying to navigate that.
Gosh.
Wild times. But these things are going to happen and you just kind of got to giggle and work through them, in the time and know that it'll make a good story and an actually great subject line for an email. But change is inevitable. And so don't run from it. Don't be scared of it. Again, I've found that more times than not, that change or when things are happening around you, it actually can be toward your benefit. It doesn't always have to be to your detriment.
And if a woman is listening right now and she's going through a change, she's going through grief or a health challenge or something else happening in her business or her personal life, are there any words that you would just speak directly to her right now?
Definitely, I'm wearing a shirt if you're listening to this. I'm wearing a shirt that says rest is my resistance. I have a pillow that says rest on it behind me. I am a fierce advocate of rest. And so if there is this feeling of like I can't anymore, actually my husband, he has a lot of overwhelming stuff going on right now and he's like, I need time away. And I said, all right, book a trip, so go figure that out. And so when you are at that point, whether it's for grief or health or stress or whatever, again, lean on the people in your life. A lot of times, we think, oh, they wouldn't give us that, or, I'm asking too much. But again, for those people that really, really love you, they want to see you happy. They want to see you succeed. They want to see you be great. So, for a very small like ask, it will be so much better for the long run, right? And so if you are needing rest, figure out how you can get that rest in whatever way, shape, or form. And whether it's for a day, whether it's for a week, whatever the case is. And so that's number one. Number two is find you community. And that's easier said than done. And as somebody who has moved 12 times in my life, like I went to three different high schools, the idea of like making friends can feel very overwhelming, and be like, well, where the heck are who are these people? I definitely a lot of times, honestly, I would just DM people on Instagram based on like what I saw in their stories and just laughed or found commonality, or I was like, oh, you're in Lisbon, like, do you want to find the best chocolate cake in the world? I'm gonna send you this address, you have to go. Like just connecting on different things that are not business related, and then really just starting to cultivate those friendships, those relationships. Again, if you need mentorship, please seek mentorship. And because we aren't meant to do stuff alone. Like we aren't built as humans to just, be able to just withstand life and all of that stuff alone. And I don't mean like if you're a single person, I mean just like alone in general, like no family, no friends, no significant others, no nobody. That's not how we're meant to do life. It's not meant to be in isolation. So if you're going through a difficult time, find your rest and then find your community. Like those are the two core things for me.
Yeah, I fully agree. Thanks for sharing those.
Yeah, absolutely.
And how can listeners find out more about you if they want to just
Yeah,
reach
come say
out to
hi.
you, or if they want to just be a part of this evolution, this experimentation that you're going through? Where do you want to direct people?
Yeah, so I love Instagram. It's my jam. And I'll be all up in the DMs all the time, chit-chatting with people. So that's at systems plural, saved me. And then obviously you like podcasts if you're listening to this. So I do have a podcast, Systems Saved Me as well, where you're Apple, Spotify, wherever you listen. Those are like the two main places that I tell people to go and hang out. As my website is under construction to TBD. I don't know when. When I figure it out, it'll be up. And yeah, I would say those are two best places.
Great. And we'll put those links in the show notes as well. All
Amazing.
right. Thanks so much, Jordan. It's been really wonderful to have you with us. And thanks for your vulnerability and sharing what this process has been like for you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Sarah. It was such a safe space, so it was wonderful.
When the going gets tough, we all need more support than we think or than we're used to. Because during these times, we're encouraged at every turn to hurry up and get on with it. But by trying to power through these messier seasons of life, we're denying ourselves the very answers to our healing and growth. After experiencing serial heartbreaks over a span of 5 years, I felt deeply impacted by our culture's dysfunctional relationship with loss, especially for us women. This is one of the main reasons why I wrote my new book, Handbook for the Heartbroken. In it, I share the grounded guidance I discovered during my own season of turmoil between 2016 and 2020. Blending internal family systems and various wisdom traditions, I offer gentle lessons and supportive practices for anyone experiencing falls from grace, both past and present, personal and collective. You can learn more and get your copy, as well as receive accompanying gifts at handbookfortheheartbroken.com. That's handbookfortheheartbroken.com. Gifting this book is also a great way to support clients and loved ones going through tough times. Heartbreak is an inevitable part of everyone's life journey. Yet, when we fully embrace these harder seasons of life and employ the right tools along the way, we can become fully wise, mature, integrated human beings. Wherever you are on your journey right now, I send you my love and support, and I invite you to get your copy and accompanying gifts at handbookfortheheartbroken.com or through the link in the show notes. Thank you for joining me today. And remember, change doesn't come from listening alone. I invite you to commit to taking one small or large courageous action after today's conversation. One step you can take, if you haven't already, is to sign up for my Sunday Journal. It's a weekly newsletter filled with inspiration and reflections about the intersection between spiritual entrepreneurship and fulfilling your potential to help you become the woman you truly are in every area of your life. You can subscribe at programs-sarahavonstover.com/journal. And if you found this podcast valuable, please share it with the women in your world. Also, I'd be very grateful if you'd leave a review. It helps others find resources like this, and I'd love to hear what's coming alive for you after listening today. Above all, keep going, and never forget the unique offerings you and your true self bring to the world. Until next time, I'm sending you my heartfelt support.